Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
1 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get back into the Chiefs' first round draft pick, Josh Simmons, in just a bit, but we were talking about Bill Belichick and what continues to just be this weird, bizarre story involving him and his girlfriend, also like personal assistant, and the CBS Sunday morning interview he gave, obviously this past Sunday. And you said right before we went to break, there's a new statement out from Bill Belichick on the North Carolina letterhead.
I will say, this is one of the funniest things about Bill Belichick going to college, is that when you are in the NFL, you don't have to release these statements. You can just live your life. Nobody cares. You don't like, but because of recruiting, Gold, and you know this, because of recruiting, you have to acknowledge everything in college football, including this quote. I agreed to speak with CBS Sunday morning to promote my new book, The Art of Winning, Lessons from My Life in Football. Prior to this interview, I clearly communicated with the publicist at Simon & Schuster that any promotional interviews I participated in would agree to focus solely on the contents of the book. Unfortunately, that expectation was not honored during the interview. I was surprised when unrelated topics were introduced, and I repeatedly expressed to the reporter, Tony, I don't remember his last name, and I can't pronounce it, and the producers that I preferred to keep the conversation centered on the book. After this occurred several times, Jordan, for whom I share both a personal and professional relationship, stepped in to reiterate that the point to help refocus the discussion. She was not deflecting any specific question or topic, but simply doing her job to ensure the interview stayed on track. Some of the clips make it appear as if, though, we are avoiding the question of how we met, but we have been open about that fact that Jordan and I met on a plane or on a flight to Palm Beach in 2021. The final 8-minute segment does not reflect the productive 35-minute conversation we had, which covered a wide array of topics related to my career. Instead, it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which was simply not true.
Okay. That's the latest from Bill Belichick.
Back on the flight. Okay.
So that's
the main story floated of how they met. Yes.
What do you guys think? Because for me, I actually, that is the same story they've gone with. So I know it's not as juicy and fun as social media thinking that they met at some, you know, massage parlor or something. Okay. That was a rumor that was out there.
Yeah, I
actually believe that they may have met on a flight.
Or her parents' small business or something. Or, whatever. Yeah, is that the other one?
Sex shop or whatever. I think, though, the fact that, of course, she's trying to control the conversation. Of course, that's what he's saying. She wasn't trying to do that. Clearly, she's trying to control everything around him at this point in time. As far as how they met, like, ultimately, like, it doesn't deep down matter, right? Like, it just doesn't. It's just weird how they've gone about doing media coverage and having the media interact with them. And normally, Bill Belichick, you're right, would never have put out. He's talking more to the media in the last week than he had in, like, 15 years
you
in New England.
You have to at college. This is such the stupid. This is why so many people went out of the game.
You're right.
In college, it's all like, I'm never retiring. I'll live till I'm 100. I'll put my brain in a cyborg. You'll tell them anything to keep recruits. from questioning what's going on. So if there is even a half a thought that a recruit might think that Jordan is pulling the strings on Bill Belichick behind, he has to bury it, because what happens is Dabo Swinney gets in a room with a recruit and he's like, "Old Uncle Bill being controlled by Jordan? That's who you want to go play for? Don't do that. Come play at Clemson." They use it all, Drew. It's all a big weapon in college.
Well, it's not only that that you're talking to the kids, you're also talking to boosters. When you do like the media tours of, you're not even presenting anything you're doing. It's just, hey, this is what we're doing for the program. This is why you should invest money in North Carolina football. You got to answer all those questions. You got to talk to a lot of different people. This is the thing though that I have about it. If your story is consistent in where you met, when Bill was asked, just say the airplane. Just say the airplane and it gets the question out of the way and you don't have to be asked it ever again. All he has to say when he's asked, how did you guys meet? We met on a plane going to Palm Beach. That's it. It takes 2 seconds and you're done.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense that she would defer that question if it's true and consistent. Why would you not?
Because he only wanted to talk football. He also clearly wanted to avoid the Robert Kraft stuff. He's like, I just want to talk about stuff that's in the book. Yeah. But it's a notable exclusion that your football book about football does not include one of the central most figures in your entire football life. I'm sorry that's not in the book, but that we have to talk about the fact that it's not in it.
Is Spygate in it at all?
No chance. Well, I don't know, actually.
This whole thing is just so weird. It's just, it's honest. It's just all very, very weird. Their situation, the way that, like, somehow this has become such a big story, the whole thing is just bizarre. Because deep down, actually, it really doesn't freaking matter, but it's just so weird the way they've gone about it and how more and more involved.
Great coach, so we become more fascinated. Yeah. If this was happening to Rex Ryan, we wouldn't know. I wouldn't even know.
Rex Ryan had his own fair share of weird stories, yeah, videos.
But I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know that he was dating a 25-year-old who also handled the publicity for his book.
I was going to say. I think that also is part of it. There was nobody from the publisher of the book. There was nobody from the company. There was nobody from the university. There's nobody there.
Why did he agree to even do the interview?
His girlfriend.
I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, why? What did you even agree to do the interview for?
Yeah. What did you expect? They were. You knew they would try to ask a question about it. I mean, it's about the book technically. Why is there no Robert Kraft in the book? I mean, that technically is a book question, I suppose. You could bend the rules a little bit.
But that's the thing. Bill Belichick wants it to be in the book. Like, no offense, man. He's not going to talk to you about, like, the time. Like, he making it sound like it's a beautiful mind. Like, he was walking around just imagining coverage. Like, they're not going to. It's a TV interview.
Yeah.
I get hung up on the same thing, which is he is over 70 years old. He does not have to do any of this.
From the 913.
What is his net worth?
From the 913. He should have said, "We're on to Cincinnati." He was asked that.
We're on to NBC. You know, when asked, he should have just said,
"We're on to the next interviewer."
We're on to PBS. We're going to the next thing. What's his net worth? What's he worth? $100 million?
Who?
Bill Belichick? Maybe that's too much. $50 million? What do you think he's worth?
I have no idea. I'd guess $60
million. Let's see. I mean, $70 million is what this says.
Okay. Right.
Tough. You know, got to really promote that book. You could have just written a memoir that wasn't massively published. You don't have to just quit. I don't understand. Like, we've talked about this before, and we talked about this at the end of like NFL careers, where at least you're young, and I think it's kind of a harder decision. If somebody wants to give me $70 million, I'll quit all this right now. You'll never hear my voice ever again. I'll leave. I'll disappear. You won't see me. I'll delete all my social media. I'll never do a single radio hit. I won't so much as sing in the shower. Whatever things you want me to, I'll quit. For $70 million right now, I'm out.
Right.
Like, we make it seem like I'll quit it all. I've dedicated a huge chunk of my life to becoming a professional radio host. I'll quit it all. Hang it all up.
That's so brave of
I'll
you.
Just
over
watch
70
birds.
Million. That's so brave.
I'll figure something out, you know?
For 70 mil. Yeah.
Complaining about having to do a TV interview. This was optional, Bill. Now, I'm assuming Smith & Schuster did force him to do some media stuff for publishing his book.
What's the point of the book, too? Because if he didn't want to write,
talk about how good he is at football. Bragging about how good at football he is. I'm great at football. Here's my book. That's it. Right?
Yeah, but he's good enough. You don't need to explain it to anybody. I mean, if he has, like, some fun story, like stories I encountered over my 25-plus year, whatever it is, of coaching.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think that'd be interesting. But if he's going to, well, you know, back in when we had the undefeated run, you know, I sat in my office with Randy Moss and Tom Brady, and we just talked about X's and O's. Like, we understand. Like, there's not.
But
there's
how's that a TV? Yeah, but what? Yeah. Give me the best story. I guess we can talk about that. But, like, the most interesting stuff is that you have a horrible relationship with Robert Kraft. That's the most interesting stuff. That, like, because the interview is like, he said he fired you, and he's like, it was mutual. He's like, I'm just saying he used the word fire.
I just wonder what the book is about. Like, if the book is about, if it's tales from his time in coaching, then yeah, there's questions asked there. But if it, like, what's the purpose of the book? Because if he excludes Kraft and he excludes Spygate and all these other things, then it's not a memoir. It's not a memoir.
Bonus random question now that you're asking this.
Oh, boy.
What is the, what book did you hate? 913-586-7965. Even in high school. Like, I don't care. Like, the one that you're like, to this day.
I don't even know, man.
I have tried 4 different books by this author because people swear by it. Genuinely awful reading, and I hate it. If you like Hemingway, I don't get it. Stinks. He's terrible. I don't want to read Old Man in the Sea. I don't want to read any of them.
I mean, stuff we had to read
get
in school.
Get all like, Ernest Hemingway's
Hamlet
work.
Was terrible. But
you didn't like Hamlet. Okay.
Any of the play stuff was too...
Too dense?
It was also you're reading it in a way that you've never really read something else before. It's tough to.
A Farewell to Arms is one of the worst books I've ever read.
Is that by Hemingway as well?
Yes, all of them. I read 4 because somebody's always like, I read one and I said it was terrible, and I'm like, no, you're just not. You read it, try again. That was always the take. Try that author again, and I tried multiple books. I read that one, For Whom the Bell Tolls, all of his hits. I essentially just listened to his greatest hits album, but in book form, they stink. Someone says Grapes of Wrath. I remember having to read that. I remember more watching the movie, the black and white. Did you watch the Grapes of Wrath movie?
I don't think I'm trying to remember. I know obviously Lord of the Flies is one that comes to mind.
I like the Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. I'm trying to go through all the ones.
Someone
we had
just texted Canterbury Tales. Didn't like that one by Chaucer.
Great Expectations.
I liked Lord of the Flies. I thought that was really good. Great Expectations. I always had a weird book of that. It was the teacher who taught me who like we had to read that book was like advanced comp English. And she talked about the book and she loved it. And I thought it was okay. But she was also encouraging us as like sophomores in high school to go watch Eyes Wide Shut. And I want to remind people what Eyes.
Nicole Kidman.
You telling sophomores in high school to go check out Eyes Wide Shut? I do not think that. So I could, for whatever reason, that book immediately makes me think of that.
Charles Dickens. Yep. That's Great Expectations.
Pride and Prejudice people are mentioning. A lot of people saying they didn't understand the hype with William Shakespeare, you know? Didn't work.
Someone said, I've never heard of this version of this book, Tequila Mockingbird.
Tequila? Tequila Mockingbird?
You didn't like To Kill a Mockingbird?
That's a classic.
That's
classic.
Wild.
That's just a classic.
That's even hotter classic. Take than me saying Hemingway is one of the most famous authors ever.
Yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird. Just funny, autocorrect typed in Tequila Mockingbird.
That's a totally different book.
Someone said AOL for Dummies. It was a tough read back in the day.
Did you ever have a For Dummies book from the library?
I don't know if I did. No.
My parents had one, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, what was the topic?
I don't remember what it was.
How to Break 100 at Augusta for Dummies.
From the 816, no? The Giver?
Hit your ball straight.
Yeah,
one of those. Don't avoid the hazards.
From the 816, The Giver was a messed up book. The Giver is one of my all-time favorite books. It's meant for you. It's YA. It is one of the best books ever written, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's not bleak, though. It is. Have you read The Giver?
Cody's wife is a librarian, it's by the way. So this is now bleak. We're going deep. This is where this is coming from now.
Yeah. But I really love that book.
Yeah, yeah. Animal Farm. You didn't like Animal Farm?
Did you not read The Giver?
No.
That's like a classic youth book. Yeah, man. I felt like everyone had to read that one.
We had the. God, I don't remember.
We had to do like everybody, right? Scarlet Letter, Kill Mockingbird, Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit 451.
I think everybody
love Vonnegut, so no one's going to talk me into all that stuff. Those were all
The Giver was
me,
one. There was another one, too. I picked the other book. We got a choice of two, of one of each, and it was The Giver or some other one, and I did not pick The Giver.
Yeah,
probably because it had more pages.
You guys should both read The Giver. New reading assignment. It's
how many
a great.
Pages? Hold on.
It's a short book. It's a YA book essentially. It's not very long. It's maybe 200 pages. You could read it in an evening. Hmm. Not that quick. But
in an evening.
Yeah,
240 pages. I read slower than most. 240 pages is like a week for me. Like a good week of wrapping my head around the storyline of this.
I mean, this says individuals are assigned roles and lives are devoid of pain and suffering. I'll watch Severance where you don't remember what happens. I'll just do that instead. Thank you.
Watch it. See, The book.
If a utopian society where one person is taught all of the history's mistakes.
Yeah.
Cody, it sounds like you'd back me up on this. The books are always better. If you watch the movie and then you read, the books are always better than the movies.
Always. Yes. But that's also like, you know, there's more detail.
Yeah.
It's just more deep. Like, that's just the way it works. I've told Alex about a book like 10 times. That's one of my favorite books ever. And he won't read it, which is Devil in the White City. He won't read it. How often do you read, though?
That's the thing. It's not even about I won't read.
I just don't read.
I couldn't tell you the last time I just said, you know what? It's a Saturday afternoon, and I'm just going to sit on the couch and read a book. That's just not me. That's fine.
This is great.
That's just fine.
Yeah.
It's just not who I am. But I know plenty of people do that and love it.
The Four Dummies book was How to Pick a Football Team for Dummies. That was my Four Dummies book.
I like it. Just for me, I never really made it past Green Eggs and Ham. That book was neat.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, please, shall we? How about the first year expectation for Josh Simmons? Because all this is about the injury, we know. And we were discussing, is it a developmental year? Does it mean it's a developmental year if it's just due to injury? Because I actually don't think if Josh Simmons doesn't play in year one, that it's a developmental year necessarily. I would view it as kind of maybe we're getting, semantics, but redshirt due to injury, right? Almost a medical redshirt year is kind of how I would view it. I wouldn't say, oh, they're trying to develop him as a left tackle behind the scenes.
No, but like if he's healthy, so some of this is an unknown, admittedly, Gold, right? You and I don't know what Josh Simmons' health will be by the time July 27th, August 1st, whatever the hell, the first day of camp is, they put those dates out, but I don't remember offhand now. But if they just sit him in favor of Jalen Moore and Jawan Taylor, and he is healthy, well, then it is a redshirt year. And offensive tackle, other than quarterback, well, no, other than running back, I don't know. There's not very many positions where I don't think anybody does development. As in, you just play. You're either just good right away or you're not good right away, and you just play. If you're good at center, you just play. If you're good at corner, it might take a few years. Not all the time. Sometimes you just play. Linebacker, a lot of times you like work your way up. Safety, work your way up. Wide receiver even, right? We've seen guys like Tyreek Hill or Rashee Rice take leaps in year two. At offensive tackle, it's not that you can't get better, but you play. You don't get better, in my opinion, at left tackle on the bench. So if you can't play for health, fine. But if he can't play, part of me thinks if he's not on the field, I'm going to be less confident going into 2026 if he's healthy and can't play, because I'm going to think you already don't think he's better than Jalen Moore, but now he's going to be the starter for you at left tackle. I don't want development years if he can play.
Yeah, generally, I would agree with you. I just think this is a much different circumstance with Josh Simmons because of the injury. I think they can say he's going to be healthy all offseason and good to go for training camp, and I'll believe that when I see it. But also, I think you're still talking about a guy that's coming off a serious knee injury. It'll, by the time training camp begins, it'll still be less than a year since that injury. So that is a huge part of it. If it was, just look at another team's first round pick. Like if
they had taken Connerly and said, we're not going to start him this year.
Correct.
We're developing him. Well, then you shouldn't have taken him in the first round. Developmental tackles are not supposed to be in the first round. That's part
correct.
Of the point.
But this is a little bit different because of the injury. If in fact, now that the Chiefs would tell you as of last week that he's going to be fine. I hope so.
But you're still not buying that, right? And I'm not fully buying that yet either.
I'm very, very skeptical.
What, I guess here's the follow-up to that. What percentage chance do we think we put at him being a starting tackle? I'll just leave it so that you can...
Week one?
If you want to put it at 1% for Taylor or whatever, too.
Yeah, for week one?
Week one, starting tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, left or right. What percent chance do you think Josh Simmons?
Less than 10%.
I think it should be like 40%. I think it's actually probably like 10 to 12. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's 10 to 15. Like, I don't think it's a great chance, and I guess that's where part of my concern is. If he's healthy in week one, practice all of camp, doesn't start, is your confidence, not rattled, but is your confidence less going into 2026?
I think the answer would be...
today?
No, because I think the answer would be, due to injury again, while yes, he was good to practice, he's still behind the eight ball because he wasn't able to do as much.
He couldn't practice or do as much, or they couldn't see him as much. They'll always have that crutch.
Sure,
there's
sure.
no doubt.
Yep.
But like people come back from it, like it's left tackle. He's played the position. Like, and I understand not playing.
We went through the numbers last week.
To me, like what you're talking about, like learn the system. It's not like learning wide receiver. It's not like learning corner. There's not this whole like play. You know, like I just think there's less to learn, consume.
Oh, I'm not. Again, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he wouldn't because he needs to learn. This is all based on the injury. Yeah. I mean, we just went through the numbers last week about the history of patellar tendon injuries and how difficult it is for players to come back from that, let alone offensive linemen. So. That's why I still think it would not shock me. Like, my prediction still is that he's going to eventually end up on the pup list, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. Because if I'm wrong, then I think he does have a chance. Juwan Taylor's playing right tackle week one. I know we disagree on this.
You're
but like
99. I also think we don't disagree on the fact he's playing right tackle in game one.
Okay.
We disagree that I think he should have any chance of beating out Juwan Taylor.
Because, you know, we went through it last week about the financial element of it. Now, could he get benched later on the season? Sure. But Juwan Taylor, $28 million, whatever it is, cap hit. If he's healthy, he's playing right tackle week one.
I like same argument. You take him at 31 and he's healthy the entire time. You say he's healthy, he should have a chance to beat out anybody because the money's spent. Like, it's always like, and this is how, and I think teams don't always think about it that way in your defense. Yeah. And I think that that's oftentimes a mistake. And sometimes they hang on to players longer than they should as a result of this, what we've already spent the money, because the problem is not even sometimes at the levels of like Andy or Veach. Sometimes it's higher up. You got to tell the boss, hey, remember all that money I spent on Omar and Fonte? I'd like to flush that down the toilet now because it ain't working. And you're like, I don't even think this guy's got a chance to be better.
Sure, but
and
see, like, this is where
Juwan,
this is,
I don't think that necessarily they'll look at it that way.
Well, the difference is, I know you're just giving one random example. Like, Omar Fonte was one of the worst players in baseball at the moment. Juwan Taylor is a serviceable player, an average right tackle that's making big money, and that's why they're going
to
move on from that. But like, he's not the worst tackle in football. So it is a different. You would agree with that? Yeah. Like, that's the difference here.
It's not apples to apples. It's the matter of like, it'd be like in baseball if you had a league average starter at second base, but your superstar was coming up. Do you just, and your league average starter still got a lot of money left on his contract, do you flush that money in order to get the superstar in? A lot of times you don't, but I don't think that they're going to like, I don't think they're ever putting Simmons at guard in order to get him in the field. This goes back to the development thing. Tackle is just, and this is a unique circumstance from the beginning, so maybe that's just the thing I have to admit. You do not often take a starting left tackle at the end of the first round, certainly one coming off such a serious injury. So it's probably going to feel weird than the normal system of operations anyway. It is rare to have a developmental player at left or right tackle that you take in the first round. Not in the third or the fourth or the fifth round, but in the first round, that's an uncommon place to say, we'll work and make him better. And I know that they're not looking at it that way because all accounts, the scouting report says the guy can play. And the question is just whether or not he's healthy. So I will question one of two things. If he doesn't play right away, is he not as good as Moore or Taylor? Because I think if he's better than Taylor, he should start. Doesn't mean the Chiefs will, but I do think that that should be the case. Or is he not really healthy and you're just telling us that? Problem is Juwan Taylor gets like three false starts in a game, dude. And for the first time ever, you're going to have people calling for the backup left tackle to come in. or right tackle. I've never heard that before, but Juwan Taylor has a game where he gets a holding penalty and two false starts in week four and they lose. People are going to be calling for Josh Simmons all of a sudden.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending, and we took a deeper dive into the numbers that Cags is putting up in AA. And if you're seeing those numbers and you're thinking, why is he not here? We'll put some things in perspective with some other top prospects in baseball next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's trending?
What's trending on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, tonight we're going to find out about a new Royals pitcher. That's the making his debut. Excuse me. Noah Cameron makes his MLB debut tonight against the Rays a little after 6 o'clock. Fern's on Deck show is at 5 o'clock. We'll talk more Royals baseball right after What's Trending, including some numbers with Cags in AA and compare it with some of the other prospects in Royals history.
Next up on What's Trending, Eli Manning is looking into minority ownership of the New York Giants, trying to put together a team to buy part of a share of this as these teams continue to go up, up, up in value. You actually kind of sell parts off that way, I think, for two reasons. One, some of the OG owners can't keep up with the Joneses in a lot of ways. It's easier for the Teppers of the world to pay whatever the hell they need to in order to get the stuff they need in these franchises. I think some of these, like, Clark Hunt owners, are Mara family owners. They'll sell off pieces of these franchises because they're worth so much damn money at this point anyway. Cash infusion for the team. But interesting that Eli would actually get to do it with the New York Giants. I think a lot of times we see this with, like, just any team you can get an ownership group for.
Yeah.
Like, A-Rod didn't buy a piece of the Yankees. he bought a piece of the Timberwolves, right? It's not always the same league or even the same team. So just interesting to see. That's all.
Thinking of the Timberwolves, they're in action tonight. Minnesota's up 3-1 on the LA Lakers. A chance to wrap that series up. It is game five. Also, earlier in the evening will be the Warriors and Rockets. Golden State can wrap it up. 3-1 lead over the Rockets. Of course, last night we saw the Denver Nuggets take a 3-2 lead on the Clippers. We saw Boston wrap up their series against the Magic. We saw the Pistons force a game six. And we also saw the Pacers come back from pretty large deficit late to wrap up the series against the Milwaukee Bucks. And now all questions and eyes turn to Giannis and whether or not he actually stays in Milwaukee.
I mean, that's going to be the biggest story of the NBA offseason, is whether or not they can convince him to stay. Probably not an easy task at this point. We know how it works in the NBA. When you're a star as big as Giannis, you like to have a chance to actually win an NBA title. We'll see whether or not they do that. Next up on What's Trending, more fifth-year options getting picked up throughout the league. Not that it's a huge deal, obviously, across the board as we go to it. Probably the most notable one, Kyle Hamilton, who got his fifth-year option picked up by the Baltimore Ravens. We also saw that Drake London got his fifth-year option picked up by the Atlanta Falcons. There was some question about whether or not they pick his up because he's been a good player, but not like the world's biggest player. There'll be a lot more of those. And the Jaguars are picking up linebacker Devin Lloyd's fifth-year option as – or not picking up, I'm sorry. Okay. Devin Lloyd's fifth-year option. Part of that is because the shift in the CBA has him lumped in with linebackers and edge players. He just get paid too much. They like him as a player. He'd get paid more like a top-five linebacker and edge player rather than just a rookie on a fifth-year deal.
Lastly on What's Trending, our Cody and Gold road trip presented by The Art of Sports is this Saturday in Springfield. You're going to go watch Cags play.
It's going to be awesome.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals taking on the Cardinals AA affiliate, the Springfield Cardinals. We have tickets still available, 96.5thefan.com. You go on there, $10 ticket deal. Over 200 listeners have already signed up to join us in Springfield. If you pre-ordered and ordered, I should say, your T-shirt, you can join us at Harbell's beginning at 3:30 to pick up those. Anybody can stop by Harbell's, but that's where you'll pick up your T-shirts if you already ordered those. Pre-orders, of course, wrapped up over a week ago. We will have a few extras for those that did not order in advance,
not
but
a
very few extras. I'll be honest, that's why we have the pre-orders.
When we started the short shirt order, we were not exactly sure exactly how many people were going to be on this trip. Happy to announce that it's probably like 210 or something, but over 200 people going down to watch Cags. We'll make sure that any of you who want a shirt that we've got the extras for will have them, but for those of you who ordered, Harbell's 3:30 to 5. I need to get online. I haven't started looking for like the spot after. Anybody familiar with Springfield? We're looking for a spot after the game. 913-586-7965. We're staying right near that same area near the stadium. So maybe a place near there, but I'm open. Hit me up with your favorite spots in Springfield, I guess. If for some reason, I don't know, your kid goes to school there, you went to school there, you just visited there for work a lot, I don't care. 913-586-7965.
When we were talking about me visiting the campus or whatever and all that stuff, mm-hmm. Somebody said their child goes there.
Okay.
It's move out weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In Springfield. So it could be a
good luck going on campus.
Bump in time. Yeah. We're move out campus weekend. Is probably not going to happen, but
I know there's cool rooftop lounge. It looks like nearby the stadium.
I do like a good rooftop. Rooftop.
Depending on the weather.
The final weekend in Springfield. I don't know. It might be buzzing a little bit before school's out.
I like hanging out with those.
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
You should stay. You're driving back, Randy. You should stay.
That's still being offered. I went ahead and ordered the room and two queen beds. So
we've got a couple hotel rooms.
Depending on when the game gets done. Oh, I have to be back. We plans to Sunday morning. So now plans on Sunday morning.
You're squatting Sunday morning?
Are you golfing?
Which one?
Did you say squatting?
Yeah. Are you doing squats?
Oh.
That's fine.
Are you golfing?
I'm sorry, that was golf is part of
what did you think I meant, Drew?
Like the house squatting. For whatever reason, that came up.
He was waiting for me to leave town, and he was going to try to legally squat in my house and take over residency.
That's right.
Someone says, I live in Springfield. Right. What vibe are we wanting?
Just kind of chill vibe after the game. If listeners want to go by, just a normal bar, but if it's a cool spot, nothing too crazy.
Depending on what time the game gets done, I can hang around for a drink, probably.
So place says, Hotel Vandevort Rooftop Badass might be a little bougie for a baseball road trip. I mean, I love a rooftop bar, but I don't know if that's what everybody's going to want to do.
Some place that wouldn't mind my usual level of volume. That's the vibe level. Like if like
Cody wants a karaoke bar so he can sing.
If I would be disrupting service because of how loud I am. I would prefer not to, because we'll be with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can mind my volume if I'm at a nice restaurant by
myself.
I don't know how many
people are planning on staying in Springfield after the game or not, but there's over 200 of you coming, so I'm assuming there'll be a decent group.
Like this person, 816, my best friend lives in Springfield. We can just chill at his house. He doesn't know it yet, but it's probably fine.
Uh-huh.
We'll just do a house party in Springfield?
No, thank you. I'm
cool. That was a quick rebuttal.
No, thank
God, he
absolutely
just,
not.
I want to go to a...
What's against a house party?
Go to a bar, because I'm not in my, I'm not in college anymore. That's why.
there's plenty of good
bars I'm sure we can find down there.
This Hotel Vandervoort just sounds bougie, doesn't it?
Well,
Hotel Vandervoort.
We looked at it.
Ooh, la, la.
It's more expensive where we're staying.
Mm-hmm.
Are you staying... By the way... Cody and I book stuff separately. Are you staying? This is live on the air. Are you staying at the same hotel that Dusty and I
am staying at the... Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
I looked at some other hotels. Okay. I considered some Airbnb options.
Okay. For one night, you're going to do an Airbnb?
Well, I'll just tell you, for one night, we could have gotten a pretty badass place. For less than we're paying for the hotel.
For the 816, Dublin's Pass.
Dublin's Pass. There was a temptation to do it, but I ended up just booking the hotel near the stadium.
If you want to hoot and holler, according
Cody was asking for strip club recommendations. I said, what are you talking about? In Springfield? I said, what are you talking about? Cody, come on now.
That's where you want to make it up? That's where you want to make it up at? Is Springfield, Missouri?
We went to Vegas four times or something last year. I would have just done it there. Like, are you kidding? I mean, it might as well be there.
Karaoke bar called Friends. It's a good time and pretty loud, someone says.
Okay. Let's go do some karaoke. Will you sing a song?
I would have to be pretty drunk.
Come on.
No.
Let's get lit. And you can sing something easy like Friends in Low Places. Everyone sings it along with you.
I'll sing Tequila.
Tequila, fine. Whatever, that's fine.
Tequila.
Whatever the lowest possible threshold.
All you guys should collectively do Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. That's a good little karaoke song. You guys can
Shake It Off? I've never done that with karaoke.
I'm going up on stage and singing Shake It Off.
I've only done karaoke like three times in my entire life. Believe it or not. I've done more karaoke on this show at this point than I have in real life.
Yeah. Someone wants to know if Cody or I are paying for the tab on Saturday. That's a negative on that one. Everybody's on their own on this one. We appreciate you guys.
But $1,000 bar tab like a month ago.
Yeah.
You could have come to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy one person a drink.
Yeah. The first person that comes up to me at the bar, I will buy you a drink.
Could it be a double? You know?
Sure. A drink, max value. I'm going to feel like I'm reading a disclaimer for FanDuel. Drink must be fewer than, you know, purchase must be priced lower than $20 and must be 21 or older. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What is this top text? John Elway did
that
what?
That must be from the previous
conversation. Is there an update? Did it turn even worse?
Yeah, 45 minutes
ago.
Oh,
my goodness.
So if you missed the story, John Elway,
his
longtime agent and friend, Jeff Spurbeck, was in a golf cart that John Elway was driving.
Okay.
As of less than an hour ago, Jeff Spurbeck has died at 62 years old after a horrific golf cart accident.
So he fell off the golf cart.
Dang.
I don't know what happened. Just said the former quarterback's longtime agent and close friend fell off the back of a golf cart, which was driven by Elway on Saturday evening. He was rushed to a trauma unit and placed on life support, but doctors had indicated that there was no hope he would make a recovery after suffering a severe brain injury. He succumbed to his injuries at 1:10 a.m. local time Wednesday, 4 days after the accident occurred.
Jeez.
So they were apparently traveling on the golf cart with their wives after attending an after party at the Stagecoach Music Festival in California. And then, reportedly being driven by John Elway.
The Riverside County Sheriff's Office said, though, no indication that Elway was driving negligently when he just fell off.
God. Oh, that's awful. That's really
awful. Saw the top text, and I was like, what?
Yeah, it was a lot harsher than that. But, yeah, that's tough.
Jeez.
That's tough. That's really sad. Thoughts to their family.
Yeah, yeah. No way, obviously, to transition away from
that. No, no.
Obviously, terrible news. We were going to talk a little bit about where some numbers are at in AA right now for CAGs and look at some history of Royals prospects. And it's not so much to say, oh, it's still a big question mark. It's more to say, just because somebody's performing in AA doesn't mean they could just come up immediately and perform in the big league level. Now, Cags is a number one prospect. He's a top 50 prospect in all of baseball. So it's not the same as every single player we're about to mention. But you were talking to David Leske a little bit about some history among prospects, including MJ Melendez and others.
So I had already pulled the numbers on MJ Melendez, and we were looking at his numbers. So here's MJ Melendez, Nick Prado. I'm just going to give you the names now up front. MJ Melendez, Nick Prado, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Wood Jr., and Cags. So we'd agree. That is one superstar, one everyday big leaguer, one guy who was an everyday big leaguer for a few years, but people are quite down on and did not make the impact in the big leagues people thought, and one bust in Nick Prado to this point, unless something's dramatically going to change in his career somewhere in this stretch. So you want to talk about the rainbow. You can get anywhere from superstar to doesn't matter in the big leagues at all based on these double-A numbers. He has right around the same career average as all those guys. He has a worse on-base percentage than every single one of them right now at the double-A level. These are their aggregate total double-A numbers. He has a worse slugging percentage than all four of those other names I just mentioned in MJ Prado, Vinny, and Bobby. He walks second most. He strikes out about in the middle of the pack. Two guys had struck out more. Two guys had struck out less. It's right around the middle. Vinny was way better in the strikeout numbers. He only struck out 11% of the time. Everyone else on this was 22% or higher. And he swings and misses more than everyone else except Nick Prado. So, like, when you start putting this into factor, he is no better at on-base and average. He's actually worse in those. He's worse at slugging, so he's not hitting for the same amount of power. He's striking out at the higher end of this rate and swinging and missing at the higher end of the rate of all the guys I just mentioned. When we say things like Jack Caglione needs more time, these are the numbers the Royals organization, I can borderline guarantee you, are looking at when they are making those decisions. They've seen a lot of guys have the level of success Cags is having in AA, and they've gotten some of them to the big leagues faster, some slower. Vinny didn't get here super fast. Prado and MJ didn't get there super fast. It's a guessing game still, is what I'm telling you. He's a super prospect. He's going to get to the bigs at some point.
Yeah, and
I don't think it's any time in the next few months.
And it might be this year, right? I mean, he could be in AAA in the next month. Who knows? But again, it's not so much to say that he's not going to have success by any means. It's more that if you are, you know, frankly texting in and saying he's hitting blank, he would just come up and rake immediately. That's not usually how it works. Now, not all these guys were college players.
Prado, MJ, and Bobby were all high school.
One was college players, and only one other guy was the top prospect, and that was, of course, Bobby Wood Jr.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say, hey, well, the other top prospect did hit right away, Bobby went to AAA.
Yeah, they were all, by the way, top 100 prospects in Major League Baseball rankings and all top 10 prospects in the Royal system, and at least half of them were the top hitting prospect. Nick Prado and MJ, or Nick Prado, I think, before MJ. At least half of those, or two-thirds of them, were the top hitting prospect in the Royals organization. Remember, there was a stretch when every top prospect in the thing was Singer and Bubich and every other pitcher that they had drafted during that run.
Yeah, that's Daniel Lynch was up there.
That's why they weren't the top prospect. They were the top hitting prospect inside the organization. Not a huge distinguishment, but a difference for sure. But some of those guys, they were all top 100 guys. These are guys in the same range. This isn't even meant to make you depressed about Cags. We're excited to go see him on Saturday in Springfield. This is just to tell you that patience is okay here, because the Royals know that if you put up these numbers in AA, it is making no promises. And as of right now, he needs to improve his slugging percentage, his on-base percentage, and his swing and miss percentage. He needs to be better in those categories so that they can feel confident when they put him in AAA, he's only a stone throws away from getting to the bigs. They're just trying to make sure these things are right. And I, you know, like personally, I thought that there were times like there's been players they've rushed to the big leagues that, like, Adalberto Mondesi is probably the most glaring example. But in retrospect, would one additional year at MJ Melendez, would it have hurt? Would spending more time and would it have helped?
I don't think because someone
Vinny
was
the best double-A player out of all of them, apparently.
I also don't know. It's probably not fair to say, though, just because somebody got called up, quote-unquote, early, that would have changed their entire trajectory. Like, you know, we don't, I mean, if MJ Melendez had another year in AA or AAA, I don't think we'd be having a different conversation
about
it. I mean, unfortunately, he's just, although I think he had a nice day yesterday, but that situation just kind of is what it is at this point. You're going to have to wait and see over the next month plus 2 months if he can get on track or not. But I think at this point, you know, you can't count on him being part of any sort of plan at this point. Now he's in that spot now where it's like, hey, if he figures it out, great, but there's no way you're counting on him.
Look, the optimist point of view is, his numbers are not that far off from Vinny and Bobby. They're off, but like Bobby whiff rate was 30.4%. Cags is 31. Bobby struck out 24% of the time in AA. Cags strikes out 24% of the time. So they're, and like Cags actually walks more. So I'll say his numbers are actually the closest player on this list in the AA level from just like a borderline match are actually Bobby's. Bobby hit for more consistent powers and more doubles, more triples, better slug. But like, Bobby's actually the closest.
I just want to see him continue to become numbers. More of an all-around hitter. We all know the power is there for Cags. That's, I mean, I hope we see a home run on Saturday night.
He hasn't hit one in a little while. I'm excited.
I haven't seen a home run in a bit, but in a weird way, like actually, the team would like him just to be hitting doubles and singles for right this second. They know
JJ straight up said that
the power power they know is there. Like they know he can get a hold of a baseball and hit it a very long way. That's not even a question. It wasn't a question when he got drafted. It wasn't a question in college. It's is he going to just only be a power hitter or is he going to be an all around hitter? And that's where hopefully the development leads to that. And if that's the case, then we're talking about an absolute star, obviously.
Are you excited about Noah Cameron tonight?
Yeah,
another top prospect. I mean, he's one of the five biggest names in the Royals. I'd have to look up their.
He's number five, I believe. Yeah, I think he's a number five prospect. I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because anytime someone's making their MLB debut, that's pitcher is even different than someone making their. You know, so they've had guys make debuts this year. With all due respect, you know, they're Tyler Tolberts and some other guys that are
happy for him.
But he's not going to be, you know, one day a huge part of their lineup. Let's just be real. Right? He's not. That's just not the role. Whereas Noah Cameron could be part of this rotation for the future. There's a chance. Now, if he pitches great tonight, I agree with you that he's probably still getting sent down to AAA again immediately, unless they think Cole Reagan's going to miss more time.
Just real quick, and then I'll talk Noah Cameron. Someone on the text line said Bobby was a high schooler. Cags is old. Bobby was 21 when I gave those stats. Cags is 22. So I don't want too big of a deal to be made about their age differences. Every other player I listed on there was 22 years old in AA. So same age, same time frame of when they were in AA. 22 is actually young to be in AA. That's actually two full years below the average age of a AA player. So outside of that, Noah Cameron, I'm very excited. He is the fifth-ranked prospect in the Royals organization. He's a lefty. Bubich is probably the best comp. That's why they're going to say it, because he doesn't light up the radar screen.
Yeah, as Vern said, he thinks it's Bubich.
And he's a tall left-handed pitcher. So people are immediately going to think of that when they see Noah Cameron. What I'm excited about is this year at some point, because I know it'll happen in every year, but this year at some point, more than one start's going to get missed by not necessarily Cole Reagans, but by somebody. And this year at some point, they're going to run into an innings thing with Chris Bubich. And I was always a little more reticent on, well, Kyle Wright will solve those problems, or here comes Alec Marsh. Alec Marsh had a really nice year. They're both coming off major injuries. They're both just in the rehab part of the process. I don't want to bank on those being the names. But if Noah Cameron comes up, pitches really well, continues to pitch really well in AAA, they got a lot of starting pitching options. Options on options, which is interesting for two reasons. One, if there's anybody who misses starts, okay, you got it. Two, if they need to trade for an outfield bat in
Lorenzo
the middle of the season,
expendable.
How? Well, all of a sudden, maybe there are some names that are available for you to move. And if you got a lot of pitching depth of guys you like, including Alec Marsh and Noah Cameron and Michael Lorenzen, who is pitching really well for the Royals, maybe you got the movement and the ammunition to make the kind of move you got to make eventually. I already got a name in mind. I don't want to get to you. I already got a name in mind.
A name in mind to trade for?
Yeah. Already starting kicking those around.
In the outfield?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we can get to it Friday. We only have a one-hour show tomorrow, so feels like a waste.
That is true. What's the weather in Tampa tomorrow?
Can we just spend an hour getting a tracking update? Making sure that... Have you gotten a shipping notification?
Yeah.
Is it in KC?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Just want to make sure you're square.
We're good. But I still think there's a chance that I won't be here Friday.
You're still putting that out there.
I think there's a chance I won't be here Friday. I'll be on the road trip Saturday. It might just be you two Friday. I got to talk to the boss after the show.
All right.
He doesn't know yet.
Still?
No. Right.
You got to tell him at some point.
Well, because it's not, I'll talk to him after the show.
You've just been avoiding him all day.
Well, during the show, I don't go and talk to the boss during the show.
If I got something small, maybe.
Yeah, after the show, I'll meet with him briefly.
I think, you know what else he doesn't know about? That he wants to give $200 to like drinks in Springfield, right? Didn't he say that?
No.
Didn't you overhear that, Drew? I think everyone who wants to go on the trip did hear that. I thought he maybe promised it. He'll almost
Speck
even
loves
swore.
Himself some kegs, so I mean, maybe he's feeling it a little bit.
He does love kegs.
Speck's going to give us his credit card to take on the trip,
A credit card would be dangerous. I thought, if it's 200 cash, that might be smarter. A credit card, that's dangerous.
No, do not send me with your credit card. I'm just going
to. Carrington offered to buy tickets for people at one point. Maybe Carrington can just give us some cash.
Said they're $10. Just ask him for cash. Give me some cash for some drinks.
Some cash for the trip.
Buy a couple of listeners a drink. You're not coming on the trip. We got representation of the morning. Dustin's coming.
Dusty,
you and I
is.
Are going to be there. Drew?
Mm-hmm. I invited Mac. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but obviously anybody's invited to join us in Springfield.
Mac, this is the time to go on like one-day road trips when you're Mac. You're in your 20s with no kids. It's great.
He's got his fiance though. You never know if they're doing something. Just like Drew, Drew's
Skip
driving
the farmer's
back.
Market this Drew, weekend, Mac, and come to the game.
Drew's driving back because of his wife.
But on Sunday, he's still coming to the game.
Well, yeah, because I knew well in advance enough to be like, hey, by the way, I'm going on this trip where I don't know when you talk to Mac. If it's like this week, they might have already had some plans. I don't know.
Anyway, we're back at it tomorrow. As Cody said, there's Royals baseball tomorrow. So just a 1 hour show. We'll talk some Royals baseball, I'm sure, during that 1 hour. Up next, C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.